You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line. This is Overdrive.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
It's Mail It In Friday with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
If they could find a way to get 4 points over the next two nights, we're going to be rolling in here on Friday.
Well, then
we'll be doing the cha-cha walk, like dancing into the studio.
Cha-cha now, y'all. Cha-cha again. Cha-cha now, y'all.
Wow, look at Noodles dancing his way into the studio.
I gave you a little move here. You called it out. I had an opportunity to go back and watch the game. I couldn't watch it live because I was working, but... 4 for 4. Take that every day of the week.
Every day of the week. The Maple Leafs are on fire right now.
And Jersey is not very good.
They're terrible.
I feel bad for them. I feel bad for Taylor Hall.
Who gives a rat's ass about them? We're going to the playoffs.
Cha-cha.
You called it yesterday.
Cha-cha-cha-cha. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
You missed it, Noodles. O-Dog said if they win last night, it's guaranteed playoff.
I thought it was guaranteed playoffs if they beat Columbus. But to go back-to-back... And Jamie, you're right. That New Jersey team, that's one of the worst teams I've ever seen. But who cares? You're supposed to beat them. Yeah. It looked ugly. McElhaney let in that garbage goal off the start, and then they just dummied them. What a night for some of the kids. The records were being broke all over. 40 assists for Marner. Nylander, 10 straight games. Matthews with a point. All things are going positive heading into the playoffs.
Everyone's feeling good. Positive Friday.
It should be a positive
Friday. Positive Friday.
There's no negativity that you can... When you're talking Toronto Maple Leafs, there's no negativity to roll into today. Like, you can't go, well, but, they're outshot or this. Like, not saying that, but you can't grasp at a straw right now. They're
7-1-1 since the California trip.
Yeah, 7-2-1 in their last 10.
And when you consider what they've done since that Florida game, like, there have been a couple of instances over the past month where people were concerned that the 18-wheeler, they were gassing up the 18-wheeler.
The vehicle.
Right? Yeah, the 18-wheeler was starting to feel like it had some juice in it. And it was on its way towards the cliff. They were using the Waze app, and the 18-wheeler was going to drive right off that bad boy. When they went 0-3-2 against Montreal, New York, and the California teams, it was kind of looking a little bit ugly there. And then when they lost the way they did against Florida, some people, again, myself included, said, uh-oh, this is generally around the time where Leafs teams of the past decade decided, check, please, thanks for coming out. Right. And this team responded incredibly well. And last night, like I said all day in the show yesterday, if they have an inspired effort and go out there and win, it will say a lot about Babcock. It will say a lot about the message he continues to hammer home with his team.
Yeah.
And it will say a lot about how they're receiving that message. That was a very impressive game. Jersey's brutal. I'll tell you what Jersey is.
Yeah, but Babcock said it right after the game. He goes, we've gotten to a point now where we're building something towards coming to the rink and we're expecting to win. He goes, there's a big hoping and expecting. As he said something about going to class. You expect to get 60s, you're going to get 60. You expect to be a 90 student, you'll be a 90. He goes, we're coming to the rink right now. We expect to win.
And I don't think they're putting the cart before the horse. Everyone else is starting to talk about the potential playoff scenarios and who they'll play and how they'll do. And believe me, we'll be talking about that today.
Right.
I don't think the team is. I think they're focused on Saturday night in Buffalo, finding a way to pick up 2 points and keep chugging along. But that Jersey team is what the Maple Leafs had been in March for the past 2 or 3 years.
Pretty much.
That's what they are.
That's what they were last year in March.
Yeah. We're done. We're horrible. We're tanking. We want to be last.
You got an injury, you're done for the year.
Yeah.
And let's get the guys from the AHL up, and let's put a lineup together that makes sure that we're garbage.
Backup goalies, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They want to finish as close to last place as they can, and if that's the case, it's on the opposition to go out there
and take
the 2 points, and that's what the Maple Leafs did last night.
Right, and that's why when we talked about Tampa losing the other day, like, Arizona's doing what they can to come in right at the bottom, and Tampa just crapped the bed on that one. So when you're looking at that, I don't know if you guys used the word trap game at all yesterday. Did you use it?
We chucked it out there.
I mean, you should have, because that's all I could think of with a strong effort against Columbus. I'm thinking, don't take your foot off the gas against a team that you should beat. And they didn't. And I like the way they played. Like you said, there wasn't a negative straw that you could draw out of last
night. It was a tough start. The goal went in, and then it was just, okay, we're going to do this. Some fantastic plays, some fantastic goals. And they dummied them, and it was game over. Now they're going to the playoffs.
And here's another thing.
Although one thing that scares the hell out of me, there was a tweet about some betting or something where it's like the Maple Leafs, and it's like 87.8% are going to the playoffs. Well, if you want to find something goofier that might kind of make you a little bit nervous, when they were up 4-1 against the Boston Bruins, it might even have been 4-2. There was a stat or a percentage. They're 99.99% going to win this hockey game, and they lost it.
Yeah.
I would suggest looking at those stupid charts. If you're a fan, stop. Who cares about these dumb projections and, oh, well, if you put the math together.
I'm not going to look at the math.
It changes nightly.
Exactly.
Because tonight, Tampa's playing and the Islanders are playing. And I know those are the teams that are chasing the Maple Leafs. The Bruins play on this weekend, too.
Like they play the Islanders tomorrow,
there's going to be a lot of moving parts here. What you have to focus on is what the Toronto Maple Leafs are doing. They're taking care of what they need to take care of.
Well, and here's the truth, too. If they continue to take care of what they're doing, the Islanders become irrelevant. The only spot the Islanders can get is the second wild card.
Right.
So the Islanders can win the final 10 games. Go ahead, fill your boots. As long as Boston and Tampa doesn't win their final 8 and 9 games.
Correct.
Because if the Leafs stay ahead of Boston and Tampa, it doesn't matter what the Islanders are doing.
Correct.
Because the Leafs can stay in the position they're currently in. And we said all day yesterday as well, the perfect scenario last night is the Leafs win and Tampa beats Boston in regulation. And it all came together. Because Boston's now lost 4 in a row. They are in trouble, man. They're starting to panic down there. Like, people are freaking out because they have seen this story play out this way the past 2 years
in
Boston.
And it's scary. The last 2 years, it's like 9 of 14 and then 9 of...
It's the exact same story.
Yeah, it is. It's horrifying.
Well into the playoffs and then the final 15 games, they melt. And that's what Boston is doing right now. Tampa, you got to give them credit. That's a big win, but they've still got a lot of heavy lifting to do.
Yeah.
But to your point, Noodles, doesn't matter because the Leafs are now... in the driver's seat. They weren't a week and a half ago.
Right.
But now they're in the driver's seat. And they've got a schedule upcoming at Buffalo, at Detroit, Florida at home, at Nashville. These are all games where if they continue to play an inspired game and play motivated the way that they have the past 7 or 8 games, they're going to win a bunch more games. Keep chugging along, man.
Well, my biggest thing is I told you at the start of the season I didn't think they were a playoff team. I've had to change my thought process, but I still am not gonna. I just want the X or the check mark, and then you're like, okay, you revamp and you say, I misjudged this group. They're close.
Well,
to
no,
it.
Let's be honest though. You can determine that you misjudged the group. We all did,
right.
Because Noodles, even if they miss. You didn't have them at 85 points.
No.
They're already at 85 points.
Well, I had them at probably 85 points for the season, with 9 games left.
Okay. Let's just be honest. Everything they've done this year has been surprising for almost everyone.
Correct.
Regardless of who they drafted or what rookies they have, they were last place in the league.
Exactly. And Freddie Anderson, there were question marks. Can he start as many games as he has?
Yep.
Can he be as productive? Who is Nikita Zaitsev, and what kind of game is he going to bring to the table? He's been very good. I thought he was really good again last night. Connor Carrick's been very good for them of late since he's returned. So I think they've already established that they've blown the preseason predictions out of the water. They can just bring it to a completely different level if they keep moving along here, finish third in the division, and finish with like 97 points. Right? Then you really look
then
back
the
and say.
The legend of Babs just grows.
Here's
and
a question,
grows
though. Today, here's a hypothetical for you guys. Would you sign off on the first wild card spot today or the second wild card spot?
You know what I said during that hypothetical about a month and a half
me
ago?
Me and you said, no way.
No, you said you'd take the wild card in a heartbeat. I had faith in this team. I said, no, I'll play out the season.
All right.
Would you? What would you do, Noodles?
I'd take the wild card spot every day of the week.
You take the wild card
guaranteed.
Right now?
Yes. Because as well as it's going, if they go through a five-game stretch that doesn't go so well,
mm-hmm.
now all of a sudden it's panic time. I take guaranteed playoffs today. I sign on the line and I say, I'm getting experience for this group. That's what I want guaranteed. And they are getting it. And that's the what I'm saying, and that's not with a negative twist. What I'm saying is this is what you want for this group is to get to the playoffs. To get Austin Matthews and this young group another taste of more experience and see
but I think,
how they can fit.
I think we've gotten more and more greedy over the course of the year. I think the team has.
Yeah.
Because they understand that it's attainable. That now, I mean, again, they've got 9 games left. They're 3 points up on Boston with a game in hand.
Yeah.
So why would you not think they can finish third in the division?
Well, because the stretch is 7-2-1, so you think they're going to do 6-2 in their last 8?
Well, they might not need to, though. Boston goes 4-4.
All I'm saying is that there has been the history of this group has been up and down a little bit this year. I want to just get to the playoffs. That's where I think fans are obviously very excited about and should be. You want to get greedy, obviously, because you want to face Montreal or Ottawa. I think that would be amazing for hockey in general in our group.
You'd also have a much better chance at winning
exactly.
the series.
Exactly.
And that's where my greed is coming from here. It's gone from, okay, get in, get swept, but hey, that was a fun experience, to why have that kind of expectation?
Right.
Why can't they beat an Ottawa in the first round? Why can't they beat a Montreal in the first round? The way that they're playing right now, they're playing really well. And
yeah. Other than Pittsburgh and Wash, the East is wide open. Let's just put it on the table. A hot goaltender, a hot power play might carry you through. You're going to have to get through one of those two teams. Columbus can be dangerous. But other than those two teams, if one of them is beat out early, like if one of them gets beat in the first round, a shocker, it's wide open.
Well, it is. Because of the way the playoff format is.
Yeah, and I'm not talking stupid here saying, hey, if the Leafs do this or that, they could make a run to the final. I'm just saying, other than those two teams, think about it. Who the hell would who scares you? Does anybody really scare you right now?
I had to block somebody yesterday. It said, if the Leafs win the Cup this year, who gets the Cup? Who hands the Cup?
Oh, stop that crap.
I sent out a block.
It's an interesting question.
I'll get it first.
That's a moron.
Morgan Rielly will hand it to me.
I would think Morgan Rielly would probably get it. Well, I guess they were asking that because there's no captain, right?
Yeah. I'll go and take it from Jerry.
I see.
Would that be hilarious?
Well, listen, no one's this is where you got to be careful. Twitter.
Who cares about Twitter? I'm
exactly.
just asking you. Does anyone scare you in the East other than those two monsters? Not me. Who the hell scares you?
Scare is a relative word.
It's a very relative word. I would be scared on all of those teams. All of them. So you should be.
But shouldn't that apply both ways?
Absolutely.
Shouldn't they be afraid of Montreal? Or of Toronto, I should say?
Absolutely. That's my point. It's you don't go in overconfident. You go in, you want to be the underdog. You want to be the team that everyone, you know what, they're young. You want to surprise people. I think you play with fear. You play your best when you're playing with fear. And digging in, you don't want to be the favorite that fails. You want to be the team that is a little bit of the underdog, and you use that as motivation. That's the way I
think
see
that's
it.
Likely been a part of their code all year.
Right.
To say, let's go out there and surprise
working.
People, and it's worked very well. We have a poll question up on Twitter asking people if they made the playoffs as the third seed in the Atlantic, as a Leaf fan, who would you rather? They play in the first round, Ottawa or Montreal. Overdrive's poll question is brought to you by Colt Hockey. Reinvent your game with the stick that will last 3 times longer than your regular composite. Colt Hockey, designed by hockey players for hockey players. Visit ColtHockey.com. How would you guys answer that? Habs or Ottawa in the first round?
I know both those teams pretty well. I think they match up a little bit differently. I've told you I think Carey Price scares the hell out of any team facing him. Because he is the best goaltender in the world.
So I would say Montreal. Carey Price, I know their record is awful, but I just think that they're not. I think if Ottawa gets it fired up, they're pretty scary.
Well, Ottawa systematically is a better team. Like, then Montreal, then Toronto, the way they play systematically. But Ottawa's a team that, I mean, you lose Mark Methot, one of your top four defensemen. I think he'll be back for the playoffs a couple weeks, and we'll end up getting into that. But they would match up real nice against either one of them. But I still think they would be a slight underdog on either side, just through experience and
like, well, they wouldn't have home ice, and Montreal's beat them 14 times in a row, and Carey Price is Carey Price. So, yeah, I think they would be an underdog against both teams. I think there's two ways to look at it. If it's who do you think they'd have the best chance of beating, if it's all about, hey, let's get through to the second round, I'd probably say Ottawa.
Isn't there a history there? Somebody was talking about that last night. I think Bruce Garriott on our broadcast. I mean, the history goes back to Toronto beating Ottawa.
Well, they beat them like four times in a row or whatever.
2000s and with the
yeah, late 90s, early 2000s. That's totally irrelevant today, but it's still, there is a history there.
There is a history there
with the fans more than anything, correct. I would think. I don't think the players would buy into it, but the fans, I'm sure in Ottawa, they want nothing to do with the Leafs just because of the history between the two teams in the playoffs. But I'll take the Habs all day, every day. And I'll tell you why. This season has been all about experience, and it's been all about slaying dragons and exorcising demons and proving that you've got something different here. This has been a blast all year. Opening night, Matthews scores four goals in Ottawa. They have an outdoor game with 40,000 people. They win in overtime. All these rookies putting up points. Kadri, JVR. Leafs-Habs have not happened since the late 70s. I will take that experience all day, every single day. That would be my choice. And I also think the fact that this gets back to what you were saying, they would be deemed such significant underdogs against the Habs because they've lost to them 14 times in a row because of Carey Price. I think it would actually put them in a better position. I think it would be a coin flip them in Ottawa. I really do. I don't think Ottawa's much better of a team. I think they're better in certain areas. I think the Leafs are better in certain areas. I think that would be close to a coin flip for me. I think the perception would be underdogs taking on the Habs, and I think that could benefit the Leafs. I really do. And
you think if they play Montreal in the playoffs, it will be like, forget about all the other things that have gone on, the 14 straight, let's go.
I think so. And I think it's, if they were to beat them in the playoffs, how magical of a season would that be? Not only do they get there, this would go all the way back to the deadline from a year ago, and maybe even not that far back, maybe back to them actually winning the draft lottery. In the course of 12 months and 2 weeks, they get Austin Matthews. They make the playoffs,
hang on.
And they beat the Habs in the first round.
They cleared out Keswick, and then the good things started happening.
Exactly. I'll take the Habs in the first round all day. And again, even if they were to lose, it would just be an experience that I've never experienced in my lifetime.
Yeah, no kidding.
I've done Leafs Sens. It's a blast. That would be a blast. Don't get me wrong. You can't go wrong with either.
Leafs Habs would be cranked up a notch.
It would be on a completely different level.
It would drag in the I mean, you go down and see the games at the ACC, how many red jerseys there are when the Habs are here. That would be some heated games.
Big time.
That would be awesome.
I'll take that every day of the week.
But I think both of them, I've just thought, I know Montreal, and you made a great case for Montreal, and I think that's a really, I was just sitting here thinking, like, that's some pretty cool storylines that you just laid out. I just think either one of them would be magical.
You can't go wrong, Noodles.
I'm sitting here thinking, I just hope the Boston continues, they continue on, and Boston continues the other way, so that it's not an issue, but you've got an all-Canadian matchup where, whether it's the Habs or Ottawa, it's going to be good hockey and it's going to be intense. And I wonder if the Overdrive crew would go take our show on the road.
Well,
which city do you want to visit?
Stop it. Get the hell out of here.
You don't want to go up to Kanata?
No, not really. Been there, done that.
I was there last night.
It's a ghost town up there. The idea of going to the Bell Center, like the first Saturday of the playoffs, Leafs, Habs. Right. I already dropped I planted a seed earlier today.
Did you with Aaron?
Oh, yeah. It's happening. I'm going. I don't care if
working
you guys are coming with
working,
me.
Yeah.
I'm buying tickets, StubHub.
Dude, I'm with you.
We're going.
Yes.
We're so doing it.
Overdrive won't have a Saturday show then.
No.
No, I'll work.
Yeah, I'll go there and do some work. You want me to
I'll
go there?
I'll work till 3, and then we'll do a little
whatever
other
you want, man.
And then we'll go to the game.
Work till 3. We don't even have a show till 4.
We'll create one.
We'll create some programs.
Okay, we're going to create Overdrive Extra.
Simulcast the Montreal show into here, and we'll work on it.
Whatever you want.
You
want
to go sit in with
Marinero
or whatever.
I'll sit in with Mitch Melnick.
Well,
actually, screw it all.
Today.
Let's just go and...
That's what I'm saying. This is what is at stake, and I know... First of all, we're allowed to put the cart before the horse. Babcock's not going to allow the team to.
No.
And I think that's important to point out. Anyone that's worried about jinxing their own mentality, and, I don't want to get carried away here, have some fun with it. The Leafs are on fire. As it currently stands, they would play Ottawa in the first round. But Ottawa's a point back on Montreal with a game in hand, and they play each other tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So it's a coin flip over who's going to win that division as far as I'm concerned, even with Mathot getting injured. But if you're a Leaf fan, man, you've been waiting for this for a decade. You've been so beaten down, and it's been so disturbing.
You got a little taste in the lockout season.
Have a blast. Enjoy it, man. They're on fire right now. They just won back-to-back games.
Yeah, look at their schedule, what they've done. I was so concerned at that schedule coming down the stretch. And I don't know what the hell is going to happen at the end of the schedule because they got some real quality teams. How those teams are going to approach those games, the Washingtons.
Well, you may get what you – I mean, to a lesser extent, you're going to face the Keith Kincaids and not the – Brayden Holpe's. You'll get
Grubauer. But even more, like, are they going to sit guys out and rest or pull an NBA move? I hope so. If it's needed.
The only one with Pittsburgh, I don't see Crosby coming out if he's going for the scoring championship.
Well, according to some, he should be suspended.
I know. People are ridiculous.
You want to hear what Eugene Melnyk had to say on TSN 1200 today, the owner of the Ottawa Senators? And I wonder if this was planned before the incident or if they reached out to him after the game and said, can you come on and talk about it? Because this is kind of a Jerry Jones move. You don't see too many owners doing radio interviews. Doesn't happen that often. Now, he will speak with the media. Melnyk will do some radio interviews from time to time.
Yeah, he's a colorful guy, and he's passionate about his team, and he loves his players, and you have to respect him for that.
And his role is to cater to his players, his
Correct.
Team, and his market.
Correct.
So you have to keep that in mind. He's not doing this for the benefit of people in Toronto or Exactly. San Jose or Arizona.
Exactly.
But if you missed it last night, I'm not sure how you missed it. I mean, everyone's talking about it. Sidney Crosby, he whacked Mark Mathot. He gave him a pretty good whack.
He gave him a whack on the hands.
It was a good whack on the hands, and it cost Mathot his fingertip. And you were right there. You watched him skate right in front of you with no glove on. It was gruesome.
Yeah, I thought it was his nail hanging off, to be honest. It kind of looked like his nail. But
let's hear what the man has to say.
All right, this is what Melnyk said earlier today, pleading for his own guy and kind of taking runs at Crosby at the same time.
We all know who he is, and the guy is just a whiner beyond belief. And, you do this kind of stuff. I don't care who you are in the league. I don't care if you're the number one player in the league. You should sit out a long time for this kind of crap. Really do.
Huge. Settle down.
Mm-hmm.
I just talked about this on SportsCenter. If you watch a hockey game, and always watch the puck carrier, regardless if it's a skill guy. Ever since they took out the rule where you can't hook the hands because you're going to go to the box for 2 minutes, it turned into the chop right around the hands and the stick area.
Yeah.
What it does, it prevents you from going to the penalty box, and it also can cause a turnover.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is. And if you watch a game, it happens 20 to 30 times, maybe more, in one game.
Yeah.
And what happened to Mark Mathot's finger? How many times did I just say 20 to 30? That's how many times it can happen in a game. He just got hit in a spot where his glove was positioned wrong, and there goes the top of his finger. As stupid as that sounds, I'm making the top of the guy's finger sound like nothing, but that's the way it happens.
Should have been a penalty.
Yeah, it's a
letter of the law.
Okay,
you slash some guy.
Maybe
should be
it's
a
missed call. Maybe it was a little bit more egregious than some of the other whacks on the hand.
Should have been a penalty. I think what makes it that much bigger of a story, clearly, is because it's Crosby.
Right.
I also think because of what Sid did the previous game.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a greasy move. He knew what he was doing. He gave O'Reilly a tapping the pills, and he knew what he was doing.
Think of the outrage it would be if it was Mathot doing that and Crosby's finger going off like that.
People would be going bananas.
We'd be doing 3 hours.
But that's what
today.
You have to remember, and that's like people taking runs at Melnick about how embarrassing he is. Lemieux would do the same thing.
Right.
Mario would call in to Pittsburgh Sports Radio and say, "I can't believe our league." Remember what happened a few weeks ago in Winnipeg when Pittsburgh called up whatever his name was.
Cicito.
Yes, Cicito. And he came up and he hit that guy from behind and he picked a fight with Thorburn. Meanwhile, 3 years earlier, Lemieux was writing letters to the league about how awful the game is and how things have to change. And what all that proved to me was owners only care about their own team.
And it's true.
Fans only care about their own team. Pittsburgh fans today are like, "Oh, you guys are so soft in Ottawa." If the roles were reversed, Pittsburgh fans would be going absolutely insane today and saying Mathot should be thrown out of the league.
It's a great analogy.
That's what happened.
Because the other day when I brought up Soshnikov hitting Bergeron headfirst into the boards, and you said that's a penalty, that was a major penalty. The epidemic in the league, the slashing in the hands, the hitting from behind, I'm starting to believe that Brian Burke was right. That you take fighting out of the game and accountability, and a lot of rat plays come in. And that's what's happened. A lot of this is European hockey, where you're getting hits from behind, you're getting a lot of greasy plays, and the accountability is not there. Now, I don't want to sound like a dinosaur from the 80s and saying, "Well, you got to bring back." My point being is the game is a lot more vicious in different areas. Doesn't mean that a fight would clean that up, but accountability. I called the game last night. That happened right in front of me. I didn't even think twice about it because it happens so much in the game.
No kidding.
I feel awful for Mark Mathot. Awful, because he's a hell of a person and he's a hell of a player. And if Ottawa loses him for a real long amount of time, that's going to impact their back end.
As soon as I got an email from SportsCenter that I might be discussing it, I was watching That's Hockey Tonight. I found 10 clips just from That's Hockey of all the highlights.
But
I said, boom, I wrote it down, boom, boom, boom. It's crazy.
People saying suspension, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You can't suspend for a play that happens 30 times. If the league needs to clamp down on it, that's something that, again, we've had to have a reactionary situation. And that's what terrifies me about hitting from behind, that somebody gets laid out and is in a wheelchair or worse. And then we're going to start talking about hitting from behind. Slashing on the hand. Kyle Turris broke his finger. Bobby Ryan's had his finger twice. I'm just talking
Johnny
about Ottawa.
Goudreau this
Johnny
year.
Johnny Goudreau, they had video of 20 slashes on his hand that game against Minnesota. 20.
It happens all the
it
time.
It happens all the
time. And
people
it's on
think
the league.
That Sidney Crosby doesn't get targeted. I watched Phaneuf chop him last night and cross-check him in the forearm. Like, the guy gets targeted.
It goes both ways.
Anyone's
a dirty bastard.
Who?
That Phaneuf's a dirty bastard.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone who's got the puck in the NHL is going to be targeted, and aggression is coming their way.
It happens everywhere.
It's the way it works.
Before we go to break here, I got to give a shout-out to my boy, Roams, who's on a road trip from Sudbury. He's grinding it out and listening in.
Good man, Roams. Wow. This is a first for me. I've got to give a shout-out because we're obsessed with certain names. Keswick names, we call them.
Keith?
Rick.
I don't think we've had one of these before.
Randy?
No.
Clint. Clint.
I like a Clint.
I
play
love
baseball
a Clint.
With a guy named Clint.
Here's the best part. Clint with a K.
Ooh.
Texting in saying, "Boys, I'll come with you to Montreal."
He's in.
He's on board.
He's wearing a pair of jean shorts.
Good too. Man, Clint. All right, the Raptors went off last night again, too, man. They're on fire. People have turned back in their direction as a team that could potentially do some damage in the playoffs. It's amazing what, like, a week and a half can do in pro sports. And there's still a lot of season left for both of these teams. So we'll talk about the Raps win last night. The reports out there, courtesy of TSN and others, about what the starting rotation is going to look like for the Blue Jays.
I found it odd. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, if you missed it, we'll tell you about that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Greg Reiner later in the hour. Ray Ferraro coming up. Future headlines. Text us 105050 with your name. Someone texting in saying his mom has four brothers. Clint, Randy, Horace, and Ronnie.
Horace is off the boards.
Very off the board. The pride of Wildfield, Ontario.
Wow.
I like that.
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
I bet you sitting around at Thanksgiving dinner, they just beat the hell out of each other and whiskey drunk.
No, they can smoke inside the house for sure, though.
Oh, all day.
This might be the best text we've received in a long time. Jeff sending in a note saying, Clint sounds like the kind of guy that owns a home and away Wendell Clark jersey. Definitely.
You're right.
Clint's got a home white and a road blue of Wendell from about 87.
And he's got the same hairdo.
Same hair, same stash, whole nine.
Same hair as Wendell.
DeMar DeRozan went off last night. People keep referencing where he was ranked in the SI top 100 list before the season. Tell you about that. And Steve Phillips reporting on what the starting rotation is going to look like out of the gate. Has some people buzzing. I'll tell you about that in 2 minutes. All right, Ray Ferraro in about a half an hour. Future headlines at 6:30. Raptors with a big win last night. The kids in Toronto and Miami, I tweeted that out last night. Nylander, Bill Nylander is on a different planet right now. He's playing so well. Matthews played well last night. Marner picked up an assist.
If you had to choose who's going into the Rookie of the Year conversation between Marner and Nylander, because we know Matthews is in and I think Laine's in, who is it? Pretty interesting. I mean, I think Billy Nye is at least narrowed.
He's right there. Back. He's got more goals.
I know that.
Same amount of points, more goals.
But Marner has played a few less games because he was banged up. So you can factor in the points per game. But it's just an interesting internal argument.
I think you wait 2.5 weeks and you see what they do the final 9 or 10 games.
Yeah, it's just, I hate that everything's just become points now, right? Like everyone, last night, Erik Karlsson now is, I think, 3 points away from Brent Burns. So if Karlsson passes him, does that mean he wins the Norris?
Like it's always been that way.
I know, but
I hear what you're saying.
Factor in a little bit more.
As for the Raptors, I mean, DeLon Wright played really well last night, Norman Powell. But DeMar went off, and I'm sure you guys remember this. Before the season, SI and SI.com, they came out with their top 100 players.
Mm-hmm.
And they had DeMar ranked 46th, which was embarrassing. It was just a joke of a list. He's playing himself into like top 10, top 15 player in the NBA. And I would think that kind of a list, I mean, that it's material. Maybe we make too big of a deal of it. But you guys were former players. I mean, would you be motivated by that? Because he sure seems like he's motivated by something. I mean, he got paid. So it's not the money anymore. He's not right. Working on a contract.
I still give the guy credit for having that motivation after being paid, because a lot of guys get paid and they're like,
take your foot off the list and shove it.
I could care less.
Yeah, take your foot off the gas, too.
He's getting better. This is the best season he's ever had.
Yeah, back-to-back 40-plus points.
He's on fire, man. Like, and Kyle's out, and this team has not really missed much of a beat.
That's why Lowry came out with those comments the other day.
Yeah.
It's just interesting because the team has started to – the train has kept – rolling along without Lowry.
They've won 4 in a row now, and now they've distanced themselves from Atlanta. I think Boston's probably too far gone. They're fighting with Washington for either the 3rd or the 4th seed, but they're going to end up with home court in the first round, right? And if you can pass Washington, then you're good. You'll play, I don't know, Indiana in the first round again.
So are you guaranteeing a matchup against Cleveland again?
Well, if you end up with the 3 seed, you don't have to worry about them until the conference final. But it just it's another example of, and we're all guilty of this, you get caught up in the here and now, the ebbs and flows of a season.
Mm-hmm.
Because now people are back on the bandwagon. I was talking to a buddy of mine last night who lives and dies with the Raps, and they're like, I'm telling you, the depth, they can take on anybody. Talked to him 2 weeks ago. He's like, they're the worst team in the league. They need to blow it up. They suck. Right? And the Leafs were in the same spot. Like, when they came back from California, it's like, yeah, it's not going to happen. It's going to fade away here. Now they go 7-1-1 in their last 9, and people are like, why can't they win 2 rounds?
Yeah.
Well, it changes on a dime.
And as far as the list, though, Brian, I think if it was a hockey list, a guy like Aaron Ekblad might get overlooked a little bit because of where he plays down in a small market like that. And Toronto's that for the NBA, so it's always like, let's go here and let's go there. And if it's Toronto, maybe it just gets overlooked a little bit.
I think you're probably right. Yeah. There's some truth in that.
That's
and it's
true.
It's not as if DeMar doesn't have warts in his game. He does. And he could be better defensively. He doesn't have an outside shot. For the most part, he's improved on that. He's kind of an old-school, mid-range, tough guy, gets to the line a lot. And his game is kind of going against the modern wisdom because it's all about shooting threes now and analytics, and DeMar doesn't really buy into that with the style that he plays, but he's been outstanding for them all year. We've talked a lot about the Jays starting pitchers recently with the Sanchez stuff, with Stroman and what he did at the WBC. Steve Phillips reporting, it's looking like it's going to be Estrada opening day. Happ, then Stroman, then Liriano, then Sanchez.
You happy with that? Or
I'll tell you why I'm fine with it. I'll tell you why it makes sense.
Okay.
The beginning of the year is the only time you can actually set up your matchups. Like, you can actually look 2-3 weeks into the season and say, okay, we got Baltimore, then we got Tampa, then we got Baltimore again. So you can actually try to set it up so that Sanchez pitches against his own division as opposed to pitching against Milwaukee or whatever team it might be. This is the only time of year. That's why I wouldn't put so much stock into it. Like, I know people are going to say,
my only concern about it is I think Sanchez, of all of them, can go legend on a night. And if it starts off a little bit rocky and the kind of negative right off the hop, it's like he can just wheel and deal one in there where it's like there's a win. There's your win.
Right. And kind of set the pace on a season.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, but I think this is an analytical move. I think this is them looking at it saying, okay, if he goes the fifth game, the 11th game, the 16th game, whatever, they can actually look at it before the season starts. Because once you get deeper in the year, you get off days, some guys get skipped, some guys get injured.
Right.
And you can't control your rotation the way maybe you'd like to. Right, instead of having Sanchez pitch against the worst team in the league, you're like, I wish he was going in 2 days against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. You can actually do that early in the year. You can actually look at your schedule and say, okay, if I go this day, I know I'm going to get him against Baltimore twice, Tampa, then Boston, which would be more advantageous, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't come with this big spark and, wow, Sanchez is on the mound and look at this opening day because we're so focused on it.
Right.
This is baseball in a nutshell, man. It's 162 games. The first game, it's not the NFL season,
and
right?
And then after all of them are gone up once, it's all a mishmash and who the hell knows.
You're exactly. Just... And to be honest, like we touched on yesterday, keeping Sanchez and Stroman away from the opening day,
it avoids the controversy of those two, the bromance, the issues. Who's better? Why is he ahead of him?
Exactly.
That's going to be a topic one day. Do you think Stroman should be pitching ahead of Sanchez and not the other way around?
Who's the man here when they both come up for a contract? Who gets more money?
Right.
It's going to be a battle between the two of them for a long time. Hopefully
Absolutely. It's
a positive battle where they both push each other. But it doesn't feel like that was the case this offseason.
Well, they're not friends.
Well, we don't know what's going on there. Ray Ferraro in about 15 minutes. We got a poll question up on Twitter at Overdrive1050. If the Leafs finish third in the division, who do you want to see them play? Ottawa or Montreal? We'll keep talking about that. We'll keep buzzing about what they did last night. Tee up the game tomorrow with future headlines. Get back into the Sidney Crosby slash from last night. Up and running. Feeling good on a positive Friday.
Mail it in Friday.
Well, I think we're bringing some energy. I don't think we're mailing anything.
We always want to mail it in on Friday, but we're always not bad.
There's good things going on today.
Well, we should get some interviews or something. I say it every Friday. Play an interview.
I got too many things to say today.
Should we order a pizza?
Let's talk about
it.
No?
Couching to 10K?
Really?
We'll talk about that after the break as well.
All right. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
All right, boys, what you got looking back on last night?
I'll throw all the Leaf rookies in the grinder category. They're all pretty good, meeting milestones, helping the club trend in the right direction.
They're getting paid, too. All their bonuses are kicking in.
No kidding.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Mark Methot.
All right.
Pick a slash, tip of the finger, it's not good, not in good shape, and Sounds like he's in good spirits. He's on Twitter today thanking people. So it's a great grinder. Had a rough night.
I'll go with DeMar DeRozan and the Raptors in general. Both coaches, too, all day yesterday. You missed this, Noodles. I said, I got the spotlight on Casey and Babcock. How are their teams going to respond in tough spots? Miami had been playing really well for a long time. No Ibaka last night, no Lowry, and the Raps went off in the fourth quarter. And back-to-back for the Leafs, coming off a high against Columbus, bit of a trap game, and the Leafs look pretty good, too. So Babcock, Casey, DeMar.
There you go.
All good. Grit grinders. Rays coming up. Dregs coming up later in the afternoon. Future headlines. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.